From an undisclosable location, for reasons of security and therefore insecurity, this is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening, everybody. Come at the hour, come at the mothership, and here we are. And it's hot where I am. Is it hot where you are? Well, that's all right. It'll only be double digits next week instead of triple for this. And I would say, how was your week? But if you're paying attention, and I know you are, it's been a little bit of a rough week. Tonight, Greg Hunter, he spoke with ship's captain George Norrie on June 13th. But I want to talk to him tonight for the first hour. He's got 9 years of network experience. He's an investigative correspondent. He's the driving force behind USAWatchdog.com. He's a hard-hitting reporter. He's got a history of getting to the truth, no matter how difficult the subject. So we'll begin this evening's discourse with a little slide, just a little teaser, just because, you know, Greg can talk for hours. This is a teaser of how the banking system is, did you know this, rife with fraud, instability, and infighting, which could create black swan-type events, collapsing the entire bloody system, resulting in a prolonged bank holiday. Several countries around the world have been experiencing 2- and 3-day periods where they just, that, you know, those banks just aren't open, and that ATM machine is just not working. Imagine how much longer the holidays could be if we went cashless. But you know, you must turn in those bin Ladens, because that cash, that's the currency of drug cartels, drug dealers, and terrorists, and just criminals in general. So remember, we talked about this before. Witness says someone let the gunman inside the theater. Well, we'll get into that in just a little while, because Rob Dew did such a compelling report on Alex Jones' InfoWars Nightly News, that I thought, I got to borrow this man from AJ, and we got to talk to him for a minute. So we're going to talk to him for more than a minute, because he has some interesting perspectives on many things, particularly false flag operations. Have you noticed how sometimes something like this happens just before something bigger happens, like a huge piece of constitution-busting legislation goes through, you know, stuff like that? Maybe it's just me. I'm probably just overly paranoid, being, you know, on the right wing. Oh, that's right. I'm on the left wing. No, I'm a Zionist. No, I'm a Nazi. Never mind. It just depends on which piece of the conversation is heard that generates the email. But it's all in fun, right? Not really. There's some more stuff here that's just ridiculous. Warner Brothers shows a preview featuring the scene of a gangster shooting up a theater. May not report box office all weekend. Civil lawsuits likely. That's from Drudge. And it just gets better and better and better. Look, I'll tell you what let's do. There's enough misery to go around from all the various news services. So let's just focus on the cause of so much of this, which, in my opinion, it's the cause of so much of this chaos around the world. And that is money. And that is the furtherance of agendas, which can only be done by manipulating finance. Let's just get to... Now, Greg is a little bit like catching a swordfish. You better watch what you're doing. You know what I mean? And we've got a line on him, so let's see if we can get him up on the deck. All right, just stand by for 2 minutes. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. We shall be back. Greg Hunter, welcome to Coast AM. We have not spoken before, so we'll get to know each other on the air, okay?
Sure, John D. Wells. It's good to be here.
Let me just toss something out so you can immediately shoot it down. I had a... you know, I'd like to think is a genius moment the other day. And I thought, you know, if Iceland can do what they do and just erase the debt and arrest a few bankers and just say, okay, we're resetting and starting to zero. And if debt and interest can all be, and money can be created with the stroke of a pen, what if there is no global financial crisis, really? Because it seems like the operation hadn't skipped a beat. People are still doing business, this and that. Maybe this is just one big... one great big smokescreen in furtherance of some great big war of some sort, or is that too simplistic?
Yeah, well, what you don't realize is that the Federal Reserve, this is according to the GAO report, they had a one-time audit. They pumped out $16.1 trillion in the wake of this crisis. That's the Federal Reserve, you know, pumping out money. They also bought a couple of trillion in mortgage-backed securities.
Now, when you say pumped it out, does that mean they printed the cash?
Yes, they printed the cash. They everybody from Toyota to Harley-Davidson to foreign banks, domestic banks. Then we have 0% financing, you know, 0% money, zero interest rate policy is actually zero, between 0 and 0.25%. But effectively, right. We have 0% okay. interest rates that the banks can get. This is, it seems like we didn't miss a beat, right? But that was very expensive, very costly. And that was a full court press to, you know, and to pull the stick back on the, on the plane that was nosediving into the ground, and they pulled it up. But we're skimming across the trees, and they're beating the wings, okay?
Okay.
We're buffeting the wings with tree limbs and branches. We're not really gaining any altitude.
All right.
And this thing with LIBOR is just, oh, boy. It is the biggest financial fraud in the history of the planet. If it's number one, add one to the 10th power.
Okay.
$800 trillion of transactions are set off LIBOR, and that's a good number from Forbes magazine and other people. Now, other people have put it down at $350 trillion, but let's go with $800 trillion.
Now, tell everybody what that is, Greg.
Transactions, anything with an adjustable rate mortgage, anything with adjustable rate interest rate. LIBOR is the London Interbank Offered Rate, and it sets interest rates globally. It is the money that 16 biggest banks globally, three of which are in the U.S., the Citi, J.P. Morgan, and Bank of America, Royal Bank of Scotland started this, freak show where they got caught, rigging LIBOR rates. So people might say, the Fed Reserve and central banks rig rates. Yes, that they're charged to do that. They have a charter to do that in their countries. The Federal Reserve has a charter to rig rates. That's another show, another day, but they can do that. This was supposed to be a real market rate set by the banks, a real rate of what it costs banks to loan each other money overnight. And then you put LIBOR out there, and there's several different renditions. It's 1 plus 1 or plus 2 or plus 3 or however many plus interest, percentage points higher. But this is $800 trillion in transactions. And people like Larry Kudlow said, I don't see how this hurt anybody. I don't know who was hurt. Really, investors paid for this. Cities like Baltimore paid for this when they bought interest rate swaps. CalPERS paid for this. Charles Schwab, investment firms paid for this. They're suing Charles Schwab.
You know, Greg, you are so deep into this world. You're almost like talking to a technician. How does this... when it all rolls downhill, what happens to the everyday consumer that's making $35-$40 a year max?
What's going to happen is all these people I mentioned, for example, Charles Schwab, they're alleging racketeering. Everybody who lost money, some people may say, wow, I got a great rate on my credit card or my student loan or my mortgage. Well, on the other side of that, there are people who bought that debt, bought those mortgage-backed securities, bought those pools of credit card, bought those securities, made an interest derivative play like Baltimore that, you mean you rigged the rate? People like, for example, there are going to be massive amounts of lawsuits. And that's why if you take a look at $800 trillion in transactions, I did this last Monday, $800 trillion set. Let's just say that the banks, the big banks, are only responsible. And these guys are too big to fail because any one of them can bring down the system. And we have 16 banks that set LIBOR. Probably more than a dozen are being investigative and under the pretty strong suspicion that they were all colluding to set interest rates. Let's just say it's 0.1%. That's 0.10. of a percent of $800 trillion, and that's $800 billion dollars. Multiply that, since they've been doing it since 2007, that's 5 times 800. That's $4 trillion in liability. That doesn't count fines. That doesn't count triple the damages in RICO cases. That doesn't count loss of business. I mean, when you enter a contract because of warranties and representations, I'm not a lawyer, but when you enter a contract, you know what that has? You know what that means? Warranties and representations. It has to be what you say it is.
That's right.
Right?
That's what right.
So this is supposed to be LIBOR. It's supposed to be the real market rate of what we really would loan each other money overnight, an average rate. It's a real rate, not a configured, contrived, rigged. Yeah, no, it is. It's rigged. It's phony. It's fake. And for example, Oakland, California voted just recently to say, hey, you know that those derivatives we bought from Goldman Sachs, they're not one of the banks that rigged the rates, okay? Well, we ain't going to pay them anyway. That's going to save us $15 million. Multiply that by every major city that has a derivative contract across the country. Oh, and by the way, you screwed us in those years past, and we're going to sue you. And how about CalPERS? And how about Charles Schwab saying fraudulent? And these are just the lawsuits that have already been filed. These are the charges already been filed. Antitrust, racketeering, wire fraud, securities fraud. Oh, this makes your bank look better, right? I mean, this makes the assets on your books look better. When interest rates go down, okay, interest instruments like mortgage-backed securities and treasuries, that stuff is more valuable. So if you suppress rates, you make the stuff on your books, mortgage-backed securities and whatever, look more valuable. You look more, you look more stable. You look better than what indeed you are.
Right.
Just like if you go into a car dealer and you say, hey, man, I want to buy a car, and I see 0% on your top billboard. Yeah, well, great. Sit down here, Mr. Hunter. Have you had a bank? Say, oh, yeah, I've had one. Have you had a car repossessed? Oh, yeah, I've had one. What's your credit score? It's 450. Well, we can't loan you money at 0%, but we can loan it to you at 24%. So you get the high rate. But they made it out like they are so solvent, so good that they got low rates. Now, what does that mean when somebody buys your stock at RBS, for example, that just got fined $450 million? That's Royal Bank of Scotland, the bank over in the UK. Well, I bought your shares thinking that you guys were really solvent, and you really weren't. That's securities fraud.
Yes.
Do you understand the avalanche? They think, oh, well, it will really help the economy. So wait a minute. So we need to have, let's see, what are the charges so far? Antitrust, racketeering, wire fraud, security fraud. Oh, so we have to have that so the entire system won't implode because and the reason why I say that is because another thing they were doing was what are called interest rate swaps. That is a kind of a thing that you do to force interest rates down, to hold them down. And small upward moves, if you're betting it down, can sink you. I mean, remember, I just said that we have $800 trillion, and one-tenth of 1% would be $800 billion each and every year they were doing this. Let's just say the interest rate swap market, okay? I was talking to who I have on the on my site Monday, Jim Rickards, who is a insider's insider. Said, hey, you know, that market's about, the interest rate swap market is about $500 trillion. And this has been done since 2007. And if it's one-tenth of 1% multiplied by 5 years, you get $2.5 trillion. That's enough to wipe out all the capital at the big banks, according to Rickards. And he says, hey, if you let these lawsuits run, you're gonna destroy the banks. Think about this.
Well, let me ask you this though: is it possible there are too many players as it is, or is that the problem? There are not enough players. I mean, what if these banks do fail? What if they get sued out of existence?
Well, that's the whole problem with too big to fail.
Well, the thing that's too big to fail probably should fail.
Well, I know, but you know, when you have J.P. Morgan with $70 trillion in interest rate swaps, and they go indeed, they go under. I was reading that, on one article they were trying to explain interest rate swap, the derivatives. And they said, and in the article, the writer, who I can't believe this got through their editorial process, said, well, they're derivatives, and that's notional value. That means they're not real. They're not real? Really?
Notional value.
Yes, notional value. Wow, they're not real? Well, ask AIG if derivatives are real. Ask Lehman Brothers if their derivative exposure was real. How about Bear Stearns? Ask if that the exposure is real. It's real. And that's the thing for so down to the little guy. We could have a systemic crash. It is that we have a very unstable system already. We have a really unstable system. Actually, I was talking to somebody who says, you know, we've been talking in Bible school that this is end of days. I don't know if this is end of days, but I can tell you, based on the math, we're in a territory that has been unseen in human history. And add LIBOR, the scandal, which everybody, you did what to me? You took, you know, 5 billion, 10 million, you know, 15 billion, 14 million, 500, that, everybody who lost, no, it ain't okay. I didn't know I was going to kick in to help the economy and help everybody lower their student loan and credit card loan and get a 3.5% interest rate. No, I was buying that. You screwed me out of interest. That's what these people are going to say. I want my money. Goldman Sachs is now suing. Plan is thinking about suing. They're not one of the guys that fixed the interest rates, okay? But they're thinking, along with Morgan Stanley, saying, hey, we bet against you in derivative contracts. You knew that this was, you know, rigged down. You owe us some money. And you know what? Wall Street's going to figure this out. Well, it's going to be really hard to figure out. Really? Let me tell you what Wall Street does. They account for shares and stocks and trades. I had a quarter of a share that I sold almost two years ago. I went to my local broker and said, "Hey, listen, I'm getting a thing saying I got a quarter of a share. I sold all this, right? This of the stock. I don't want to, you know, pay tax. It's just kind of a nuisance, but you know, it's going to get reported to the IRS. Not that I was in any kind of jeopardy, but I don't own it. Could you help me with this? The company is telling me this. The company is telling me, you know, some XYZ company says, hey, you still have a quarter share that's unaccounted for. Do you know that my broker found a quarter of a share a year and a half earlier, found it, said, here's where we sold it. You don't report it to the IRS. Here's where we sold it. Got on the phone, boom. And I'm telling you that because these guys are going to be able to account for these losses. That's what's so ridiculous about MF Global. The trail's cold. It's hard to find the money. Really? $1.5 billion? And my broker in Greensboro, North Carolina, found a quarter of a share after a year and a half? And you can't.
For sure.
Yes, they're going to be able to quantify their losses, and they're going to be big. And take a look at what happened, like I was telling you about Oakland, California. Hey, warranties and representations. So you said this was a LIBOR. This is a rig rate. This is a phony rate. You entered a contract with me with a phony rate. Even if it's Goldman Sachs who was entering the contract, you pay. We're going to sue you, Goldman. You enriched yourself, and you got enriched, and you didn't mean to, but we're going to sue you because you made money on us.
Greg, we're going to have a bottom of the hour break here in a second. But I know you're not a science fiction writer, but if you don't mind, what does this translate to? I mean, we've had a Dust Bowl. Japan's having their Fukushima. We haven't had a catastrophe with money since the 30s, not to the point where it caused where you got a Dust Bowl going and a depression.
Oh, this makes the 30s look like a party.
What could actually happen to people?
Well,
if this thing is not controlled, and can it be controlled at this point?
Well, what have they been? What is Bernanke? They've been. I'll get you to the break. They've been telling us for 4 years that we've got a recovery, and now he's sitting in front of Congress going, we're going to help out, and we're going to do whatever we have to do. We're standing by to do whatever we have to do. They're going to print money, and you know, in the Great Depression. Everybody's always fighting the last war. In the Great Depression, do I have insurance? Nobody had insurance, right? People went out of business. They lost their money. There was no FDIC. That was the problem. You know what the problem is now?
No.
We have the FDIC. Oh, we owe you some money? How much we owe you? 200 grand? Yeah, hey,
right.
Bob, bring this guy up 200 grand. A gallon of gas is $16.50, and a loaf of bread is $24.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And Alan Greenspan said this in Congress, you know, we can print, you know, we can guarantee, we can give them the money. We can't guarantee the buying power of the money. Alan Greenspan.
We can't guarantee the buying power of the money.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Well, we will continue our, you know, just trying to extract all the pathos that I possibly can out of the interview, because in the same way that he who expects nothing is never disappointed, he who expects the worst could be pleasantly surprised. So we'll try and find the silver lining in that cloud when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. You know me a little bit better than to know I'm just a financial numbers guy, stick in the mud. I talked about garden gnomes and fairies over St. Patrick's Day weekend, remember? However, this situation with these banks is so absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, we've had a guest on that talked about psychopaths in government and finance and other high places. And when you see these blatant acts being done by these, they're people. I mean, they call them corporations when you get a group of them. They seem to think they're insulated from them, but people run corporations. Let's see if we can find out who some of the people are. Maybe Greg will tell us. Greg Hunter tonight on Coast to Coast AM. We will return for our last segment with him. Greg Hunter, let me ask you something. I know you're a numbers man. You're an analyst. You're an investigative reporter. You've worked for a bunch of, you know, easily recognizable organizations, ABC, CNN.
Yeah.
So I know you're trying to run a reputable ship, even though, you know, the mainstream media comes under continual criticism. Maybe that's why you went on your own.
They ignore a lot. I mean, USA Today ran this story about LIBOR on page 2A, like on Thursday.
I'm so happy you said that.
J.P. Morgan Chase is one of their big investors in Gannett.
Okay. Excellent.
That probably doesn't have anything to do with it. Go ahead.
No, not a thing. Would you mind just saying that one more time, since I stepped right on it, right at that salient point?
Yes, they have lightly covered this story, in my humble opinion, based on, I get the newspaper every day. The front page story on, I think, Thursday was some CEO hitting the glass ceiling. You know, my old boss, Shelley Ross, used to say, rich people problems. And, you know, here this LIBOR thing, I mean, this is a huge story. They have it on page 2A of the business section on USA. What it means to you, and it really didn't say anything about it, what it means to you is that, and this is back to your question, I'm sorry I didn't answer it directly, what does it do to the guy making $30,000 or $40,000 a year? Well, what it's going to do initially is be like you're living on $20,000 to $25,000.
Well, you said already, Greg, you said it's like we're talking $16 for a gallon of gas.
So and listen to the people that are already said. I just wanted to put together a little list of people. State attorney generals have already said they're going to sue on the behalf of their citizens. Florida, Massachusetts, several others. Pension funds like CalPERS. Municipalities like Baltimore. And many more are going to be suing. Charles Schwab, investors like Charles Schwab. And they are alleging racketeering.
Okay.
So it's going to come down to, think about the amount of damages. 0.1% would be $800 billion, times 4 would be $4 trillion. And I was talking to Paul Craig Roberts this week on an interview on my site. He's a former assistant Treasury Secretary in the Reagan administration. He was in charge of all economic policy. An assistant is a number two. So you have, like, for example, Geithner, then he has an assistant for economic, an assistant for tax policy, an assistant for,
an assistant for the assistant.
Right. Well, but these guys have, you know, a couple hundred people working for him. So
right.
He's a high-ranking insider guy. And I said, so he says, well, you know, they did it because they didn't want the system to go under. They wanted the banks to look more solvent. Low interest rates make those mortgage-backed securities look more valuable. Interest rates go up. People start defaulting on their houses. Their assets become toxic.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, Greg, you got to have food. You got to have fuel. You got to have fuel for the car and fuel for the body.
To Paul Craig Roberts, he says, hey, listen, the banks don't have any money. The Fed's going to print it and give it to them. They're going to keep interest rates low. I said, so what you're telling me, and Roberts is a good guy. He's just explaining what's going on. I said, so
right.
What you're telling me, we have to have fraud in the system to keep it from collapsing. Yes. Now you think about that.
I just heard somebody the other day describe a state that's so dysfunctional because it has to be dysfunctional, because if it weren't dysfunctional, there'd be 40 million people living in that state instead of the sparse amount that's there now. So is fraud a necessary component? Seriously.
Well, the system, I was talking to James Rickard. He's on Monday, and I can't give you the entire interview, but he says this is a very unstable system, really unstable. Look at all the, you know, the sovereign debt crisis, the mortgage-backed security. That's not over, incidentally. That's far from over, the whole interest real estate thing. You know, I was talking to Robert Shiller of Case Shiller. He says we're in the fourth inning of a nine-inning baseball game with a housing crisis. It's been over 5 years. We're not even halfway through. We're not at a bottom. Those bonds, okay, they're protecting the value of those bonds. So all that to say this, that Paul Craig Roberts says, listen, they're not going to go after these guys. They are going to say we have to have, well, listen, the interest rate, the loss in interest income is going to dwarf the loss in the value of the bonds.
So they're not going to go after them, you say?
Yes, he thinks they won't because we want to do the least harm. Well, these guys have got us by the throat.
Hey, let me ask you something, Greg.
Down. Otherwise, you'll take the whole system down. These guys are above the law.
Okay. We've just got a few minutes here, so I want to ask you a bunch of questions that hopefully you'll have a quick answer on.
Go.
Because we've got so little time. All right. Can you touch on the speculation that's driving up the price of oil to ridiculous levels, even though we know our reserves are fine? They're the highest that they've been since they started keeping records on them in either 80 or 81.
I'm glad you asked that question. And if LIBOR, this rate rigging scandal of LIBOR, and people think they're a lot, and J.P. Morgan has been accused, for example, of rigging the energy market illegally in court cases. Okay. Also, for years, GATA, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, has been saying, and they've made a great case for this, that the gold market is suppressed. The silver market, I was listening to a couple of the anchors on CNBC a few weeks ago, and they basically admitted, oh, yeah, the silver market's suppressed. The markets are all suppressed. That's the next big shoe that's going to probably drop, is that these markets are going to become unsuppressed. And people will be flooding into, you know, tangible assets. Some things will go down. Some things will go up in price. But yes, is going to destabilize. And it's more. And Rickards was telling me, and this is a great analogy. He says it's like an avalanche, and you know the snowpack gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the bigger it gets, the more unstable it gets. And then all of a sudden, one snowflake hits it, and boom, you have an avalanche comes down.
Is there any point in investing in any of these metals? A lot of people are pushing gold.
I think everybody, and I say this on my site, and I'm not Cramer, so I don't pick stocks, and I don't say buy this and sell this. Everybody should have a core position because, really, they're just going to change the status. This is a new thing. They're going to change the status probably after the first of the year of gold. It'll now because right now they value it at 50% of its value. But they're going to change that to a tier one, 100% valued asset. It seems weird. It has no counterparty risk. And this thing is going to morph into a huge, you haven't even seen the amount of lawsuits. There's a guy by the name of Tan Chai Min who has a suit against RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland, saying, hey, you guys sued me. You owe me $1.5 million. You owe me 3.3 million shares. And, you know, I was in effect saying, he says, I was just doing what you told me to do, that it was common practice to rig the LIBOR rate, and we took requests from hedge fund clients. Now, you think about common practice to rig the LIBOR. We took requests from clients, hedge funds, from clients. This is going to morph into the biggest giant, gigantic, and it could be. And here's what happens with currency. Currency is the overproduction of currency, right? But what the real driver behind a currency crisis, and I think we're headed for a currency crisis. So the short answer to your question about buying metals, coins, not stocks, not GLD, not SLV, physical metal. But the real driver is confidence. Now, what happens if Congress has to step in and say, oh, wait a minute, we got to limit the liability. So we have to limit the liability for all this fraudulent activity? Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, knew about it as far back as 2008, maybe 2007. He wrote an email to the Bank of – he should have called the cops. After all, they're alleging antitrust, racketeering, wire fraud, securities fraud. He should have called the cops. He should have called the FBI. This is criminal activity. What happens to the confidence in the system? And my overarching thing about the economy, whoa, we need jobs. No. You cannot grow the economy grounded in a backdrop of fraud, wrongdoing, where nobody goes to jail and everybody gets bailed out. I wrote a piece in 2009 and caught crap about this, saying, hey, listen, we should just go hit the default option. And at the time, it would have cost us $6 trillion. We'd be on our way out. Yes, people would have been hurt. Real estate would have collapsed. That's what they're doing. They're holding up real estate prices because of all these bonds in American banks.
Okay, I got four questions for you.
Hit me.
How much of this total debt, this week, $16
trillion? $16 trillion. People like Lawrence Kotlikoff, who is a professor of economics at Boston University, says the real government accounting, gap accounting is more than $200 trillion.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
The USA Today came out and said the real gap accounting for our yearly deficit is $5 trillion. So the $16 trillion is our cash balance deficit. It's way higher than that.
All right, how much of this is interest that's just been rolled over and rolled over and rolled over?
It's $200-300 trillion. If they keep going the way they're going, they're going to have $1 trillion in interest. So we won't have $1.5 trillion cash deficit. We'll have $1 trillion in interest. So
why can't we just zero out this debt, just dump the interest, just tell everybody you're just going to eat it?
Well,
we're just going to hit the reset button.
Okay, and then we'd have to tell everybody, hey, listen, we spend 43 cents more than we take in, and immediately, bam, we're going to cut everybody's pay by 43 cents, but the economy would grind much lower, so it wouldn't be a 40% loss. It'd be like maybe a 60% loss. How do you expose the economy?
Now, how would that happen, Greg? Amplify that.
Because all of a sudden, right now, we are paying people and doing all this stuff and funding these wars and funding all this stuff because we're the world's reserve currency. We're spending 43 cents more than we take in. And if we can't put that debt out there, if we can't sell that debt and sell treasuries and finance ourselves, then all of a sudden, bam, we're having to live within our means of what we take in. But the economy would slow down much more than just the 43 cents of every dollar we take in.
Okay, explain this real quick. When you sell debt, when a country sells debt,
yes,
what is the nature of the debt? What is the debt?
And we sell treasuries. And last year, and this is a really underreported story, this is according to the Wall Street Journal, the Federal Reserve bought 60% of the treasuries last year, 61%.
And these are 20-year bills?
Yeah, these are treasury bills. These are 1, 5, 7, 10s, 30s. This is our treasuries. And that's what the interest is about.
So there's no standard for this. Okay,
what?
I got you. There's no standard for it. It's not like whenever a government sells these bills, it's a fixed amount. At least that would be predictable.
They sell all kinds, and China was buying, but they stopped buying. They are trying to sell their treasuries. And so we're going to be in a situation at some point where, could we be in a situation like John Williams says, that there's $12 trillion liquid dollar assets held outside the country, and, people start selling a trillion or two. What's that going to do with the dollar? What's that going to do to the value? It's going to kill the value of the dollar. We have countries right now, Brazil, India, China and Japan are now trading yuan and yen. So that's the number two and three economies of the world. We could get away with what we're doing because we're the world's reserve currency. People have to hold dollars to buy oil. And what happens when we go back to where it was in 1970, where you could buy oil in yen or yuan or euros or anything you want?
What if we tapped into our own reserves and just dumped everybody?
That would probably be a good idea, but we are, we're not really in that position to do that. We have great natural gas, reserves, but, then there's the fracking element. We have great oil reserves in Alaska, but then people want to keep, that land pristine. So, we have great reserves off our coast, but then we have, the Deep Horizon event, the BP oil spill. So that's easier said than done. Well, we could go nuclear in Fukushima. So,
Let me ask you this. There was a $5 billion contract awarded to build a highway through across east to west across the top of Market Number 4, that would be that whole Kennedy thing and everything.
Yes, Massachusetts.
And Massachusetts, exactly. No, actually, it's Dallas, Texas.
Market Number 4. Okay.
Yeah, it's that whole Kennedy thing. Sorry about that. That's a little too dark for this weekend. My apologies. The $5 billion contract's been awarded to a Chinese company. Why does this happen?
Maybe that's payback for them not dumping their treasuries. I don't know. I don't know what Hillary Clinton and Tim Geithner are doing over in China. I have no idea what they're doing behind closed doors. But we are financially very, very weak, and we have a lot of debt, and no country on earth has pumped out this much currency. And when you have a lot of something, the price isn't real high. And so anybody, the guy with a $30,000 or $40,000 job should be taking time to protect himself. I mean, you had Lindsey Williams on here talking about buying food, and not because there won't be any, because maybe it's the cheapest it'll ever be. Some people, you can't say, go out and buy gold. It's $1,600 an ounce. Some people, you know, cannot allocate money for that kind of stuff. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to end up poor. I was telling my, a friend of mine, my wife and I's, and I said, you don't think the 401k was invented for you, do you? And she looked at me and she said, if we have a currency crisis, that's going to be a national security issue. We're not going to, kill Wall Street and kill, the financial engine of the world by you taking your money out. Sorry, capital controls, that stays in.
Which is worse, Greg, inflation or some banks collapsing?
Oh, I think inflation is insidious because it spreads it out to everybody. You know, we had banks collapse in the Great Depression. And here was the beautiful thing that people don't talk about in the Great Depression. Our paper money was still, even though we revalued gold, it was a $20 gold piece in 1933, and then we did away with that because we wanted to value gold at $35 an ounce so FDR could print more money. But if you had 10 bucks, if you had 20 bucks, you had deflation. If we had real true deflation in commodities, gas would be $1 a gallon. See, I think in people like Elizabeth Warren, who's running for the Senate up in, Massachusetts or Connecticut? I think it's Massachusetts, yeah, against Scott Brown. She said when this thing first happened, she said, we bailed out the top and told everybody else to kiss off. We did. So, this would have been Armageddon for the bankers, absolutely, positively. Nobody would have gotten any bonuses. All these guys would have failed. Houses would have been cut by 90%. Gasoline would be 75 cents a gallon. And we'd still have the mortgage crisis, but we'd be on our way out of here. But the thing has gotten worse because we added more derivatives. We added more debts. And the other thing is we're very close to war in the Middle East. I mean, they just had a bus full of Israelis get blown up in Bulgaria.
Yeah, we saw that coming, right?
Who is saying we're going to have a strong response and blamed it on Hezbollah, which is an Iranian terror group. I don't know whether they did it or not. I don't know whether they have it. But he's talking about how, this is why, the most dangerous country in the world can't have the most dangerous weapon in the world. That's one of his quotes. And so, wow, what is that a precursor to? And then Syria, John McCain wants to go, hey, let's just bomb Syria. Well, the Russians have a base, a naval base in TARDIS. They're not going to be real keen on bombing Syria and losing their base.
It might turn into the next Cuba.
Oh, it might turn into the next World War III. I mean, this is a very dicey situation coming at a time when America is very weak. Listen, if World War were to come to America in the 90s, we could have done a lot better. We were the king cat's meow. We were the Mac. We were there. We were cool. We had a surplus. Now we have a year-over-year surplus is at $1.5, $1.3 trillion gap surplus, deficit, gap accounting. According to USA Today, but John Williams had this months ago at shadowstats.com, the real deficit annually isn't $1.2, $3, $4 trillion. It's $5 trillion. If you were a corporation and counted for everything, the bank bailouts, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Medicare, Medicaid, everything, it'd be $5 trillion a year. We're in very dicey. Never been this way ever in the history of the world. Not this much currency, not this many derivatives. JP Morgan Chase, one bank, has $70 trillion in derivatives, according to the comptroller of the currency of the United States of America. The gross GDP of the world is like $67
trillion. Oh, boy. All right, we got about a minute left. Would say anything you want to.
People should listen. There's a lot of people that go out and buy gold. Go out. People will tell you that. If you need tires in your car, you should get it. If it might be a good idea to stockpile food. If there is a bank holiday, if there is a grinding halt to commerce for a week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks, you should treat it like an earthquake or a hurricane or something like that. This can happen in America. It has happened many times before. And people should protect themselves is, I guess, my first and foremost thing to be thinking about. Hey, maybe we should have some dried food. Maybe I should get my car working in really good working order. Maybe I should get my house in order here. I wouldn't take on a lot of debt.
We got to, all right, dump your debt as fast as you can and cowboy and cowgirl up. Yes, Greg, will you come back soon, please?
Sure, yes, I will. Thank you, John D. Wells, for having me on.
Oh, man, anytime. Now, did everybody get what he was saying? You were paying attention, weren't you? USAWatchdog.com. Greg Hunter, we'll be back with Rob Dew on Coast.